Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
The chapter is the chapter of David and Goliath. It's 1 Samuel and chapter 17. It says, now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Sochon, which belongs to Judah. And they encamped between Sochon and Azekah and in Ephes-Damon. And Saul said to the men of Israel, Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah. And they drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley in between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines. His name is Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. I did some research on that, and the old believers believed that he was 9 feet 9 inches, and some of the more contemporary theologians believe he was about 6 foot 9 inches. But he was a big guy. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. I don't know how much that is, but that's a lot. He had a bronze armor on his leg and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now, the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. I mean, that was a big old thing, like a 4x4. And his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. Imagine getting stabbed with that baby. And a shield bearer went before him, and he stood and he cried out to the armies of Israel, and he said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And this guy Jesse had 8 sons. And the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of the 3 sons who went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn. Next to him was Abinadab, and the 3rd was Shammah. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So David would go down and want to get in a skirmish, but then he'd run back up because he had a job, and his job was the shepherd. He had to tend to his father's sheep. That was his job. He took his job very seriously. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself for 40 days, morning and evening. Then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp. And carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000 and see how your brothers fare. Bring back news of them. Now Saul, David's basically a runner, right? In his father's eyes anyway. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So it sounds like there was a skirmish or two maybe. So David rose early in the morning, and he left the sheep with the keeper, and he took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For the Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper and ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming from the armies of the Philistine. And he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the men, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be the man who kills him. The king will enrich him with great riches and give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from the taxes in Israel." And David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel?" Excuse me? It's basically what David said. Excuse me? Tell me again. What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine? Excuse me? It's like Columbo, if you remember him. Some of us do. He says, For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So it shall be done for him who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. We call this sibling rivalry. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David and said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and insolence of heart, for you have come down here to see the battle." And David says, "What have I done now? What did I do? I mean, literally, what did I do?" His brother said, "I know you, you punk. You come down here to see the battle. I know you're insolent and you're prideful little punk." David said, "What did I do?" He says, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" It's not the message I'm going to preach today, but it'll preach every day of your whole life. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not sufficient evil in our world for somebody to take up the cause of righteousness? Is there not a cause? I'm just saying, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there anything impure that ever came out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there not a cause? Is righteousness, is right still right and wrong still wrong? Is there not a cause? And David said, "What have I done? Is there not a cause? I mean, is this uncircumcised Philistine and his Philistine horde coming and everybody's running away from him? Why are you saying this to me?" Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing, and these people answered it as the first ones did. Now the words which David spoke were heard, and they were reported them to Saul. So Saul sent for him. Saul's the king. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him, your servant." David said, saying, "I will go to fight against this Philistine." Now they're thinking David's like 15, by the way. He's 15 years old or so, by the way. Saul said to David, You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You are a youth. And he is a man of war from the time of his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, but when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose again against me, I caught it by the beard and I struck it and I killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Why? Because he thought he was so tough? No. Because he knew there was a living God who would support his cause. Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Go ahead. Something about what David said, Saul was not going to let a kid go down and take on that Philistine, knowing that he was giving over the leadership of Israel to the hands of the Philistines. Something about the confidence in this young man stirred that king's heart. Said, "Go, the Lord be with you." So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened the sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. So it's like the king is like, this kid can't go up against a giant. He has nothing, he doesn't even have armor. He's not a man of war. I'll give him mine. That'll give him prestige, maybe a little more confidence. So David says, okay, he's going to obey the king. He puts on the helmet, he puts on the mail, he takes the sword. And David hadn't tested them. That's not what the weapons he was used to using. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So David took them off. He took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. And he put them in a shepherd's bag, in the pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. David said, "I know how to fight a particular way. Listen, I took the martial arts, the kung fu style martial arts. I didn't train with the Navy SEALs. You know, I'm just a street fighter, just my father's shepherd. I know how to kill lions and bears. I use a sling and 5 smooth stones." Many people have related that to the fivefold ministry in the New Testament. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The Bible says God has given for the perfecting of the saints, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. 5 smooth stones. And then he took his staff and he chose 5 smooth stones from the brook. Interesting, the brook is a picture of moving water. The smoothness comes from moving water. If you read in the book of Ezekiel about the river of God, it's moving water. It's not stagnant water, it's moving water, and it smooths you in time. If you live in the Spirit, if you live in the Word of God, it smooths off your rough edges. It also happens to fly better through the air if it's thrown from a sling. But so the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. This good-looking kid coming down with no helmet on, shepherd's bag, and a staff. Staff, think cross. Brothers and sisters, it's all about Jesus. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you have come to me with these sticks?" And the Philistines cursed David by his gods. And the Philistines said to David, "Come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Come on. Come on so I can make short work of you, you little punk. Everybody saw David as a little punk but David and God, which is more important. Then David said to the Philistines, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, and I will take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with a sword or a spear, For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and drew near to meet David that David hurried and ran to the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it, and he struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face on the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut his head off with it. Sorry if you've got a queasy stomach, but that's the Bible. I didn't say it. God said it. Just reading it. It's very interesting how there are a number of occasions where the implement created for the death of God's people is used to destroy the enemy. One is Haman in the book of Esther. He's the one who was building the gallows and ended up hanging on his own gallows. Another is the cross of Jesus Christ that was erected to destroy the life and the power of the ministry of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ used it to destroy the power of the enemy. And in this case, the very sword that Goliath took to kill David, David took his head with it. So it may be a little bit brutal, but it's cool, Bible brutal. When the Philistines saw the champion was dead, they fled. Amazing how, it is amazing to me how things change so quickly, right? The Philistines were standing here behind Goliath, right? And as soon as Goliath falls this way, boom, he gets hit in the head this way and he falls this way, boom, all the Philistines start running. And all of Israel starts running after them now. Now we're courageous in our heart, right? Lord, we need a few Davids. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. Now all of a sudden I found my courage. Yeah? As far as the entrance of the valley to the gates of Ekron, and the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Sharaim, even as far as Gath and Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. David took the head of the Philistines and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his armor in his tent. When Saul saw David going out against the Philistines, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" Abner says, "As your soul lives, O king, I do not know." So the king said, "Inquire whose son this young man is." Then, as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, and the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" So David answered and said, "I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." So we'll stop there. And I just wanted to make a couple of points. Some of this I took from a minister named John Paulus, who we're hoping, Apostle Kelly actually recommended that we have him in to preach, and was looking through some of his messages, and so I shamelessly plagiarized some of his material here, and we'll share that with you because I think it's really important. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine." Young David went to the face of the champion of the Philistines as the unofficial champion of Almighty God. See, David became the champion of God, not there in that moment of time, but when he was out writing songs of praise, protecting his father's sheep, killing the lion and the bear, and composing some songs that we still sing today, the Psalms. He was the sweet psalmist of Israel. He had a tender heart toward God. He got to know God all by himself. He wasn't really all that culturally influenced in his day, but he had the scripture and he had the knowledge of God and he had the stories that came down from Moses to their generation. And he was very much in love with God. So his ability to do battle was through his relationship with God. And that's the most important call that you'll ever hear. Your ability to do battle We have many conferences and we have many teachings and so on and so forth, but your ability to do battle, to be God's champion, comes as you spend time in solitude, very frankly, learning to know God, praying. How does somebody learn how to pray? By praying. What do I say when I pray? You pray. You talk to God. You will work it out, I promise. Just remember, he created everything in the universe. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. He is in love with you. You are engineered. You are pre-planned by him to be who you are. You are not a mistake. Nobody ever made a mistake, and then you became the product of that mistake. You are planned by God. You are here intentionally on purpose for his purposes. And if you ever find that, you'll find the very essence of self-esteem that most of our culture is missing. I pray that you believe that you're a special design creature of God who has purpose for you, who has life for you, has love for you. Your life is not a mistake. You are not a mistake. You're intentional. There's somewhere blueprints or some coded software, hardware, mechanism in the heavenlies that has designed you from before the foundation of the earth. For this time and this day, you weren't born to drive a buckboard in the 1800s, 1700s, 1500s. You're not the reincarnation of some Caesar. You're Fred from Arkville or wherever you are. That's what you are, and God loves you very much. You're very exquisite. You're very complicated. You're very deep. You're very much loved and will be protected by God as long as you will buy into his plan. Recognize that there's something in us called sin that makes us think and do wrong things at times, sometimes a lot of times. And when we repent of that and we buy into God's narrative of the cross of Jesus Christ, paying the price for our sins, then we become his children. And you recognize yourself as a special creation. And every sin you've ever committed will be washed away. It's even washed from the mind of God. And if you've messed up yesterday, you've been a Christian for 42 years and you messed up yesterday, you confess your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Young David went to face the champion of the Philistines as the unofficial champion of Almighty God. So you may very well be the champion today of Almighty God. We may not know it. I may not see it in you, but you know it because you've been in solitude with him. He had champion faith, which enabled him to take out his adversary. You and I will need that kind of champion faith in these last days as well. This is because Jesus said in Luke 21:26, men's heart, in the end times, men's heart are going to fail them for fear of those things that they see coming on the earth. What in the world is going on? There's things we've never seen before on this earth that are happening today in our moment in time in history. We don't know what's happening on the earth. And men's hearts will fail them in the end times for fear. We draw into ourselves. We draw into our own little grouping of people. We draw into our own echo chamber where everyone's saying the same thing we're saying because it gives us a sense of security. See, David got out of the echo chamber. He never was in the echo chamber. He wasn't a Fox News guy or a CNN guy. He got out of the echo chamber. He was a sheep guy. He was a God guy. And all of these people had been brainwashed from the fear of this mighty Philistine. And David wasn't brainwashed. He says, because who was big in David's mind and eyes? He sees this Philistine, and then he sees God filling up every inch of the rest of the world. And he's defying the armies of God? I don't think so. I'll go. You think about David as he looked at all of Saul's army hiding in the trenches, shivering with fear because of Goliath's roar of blasphemy. That's what we call it, blasphemy. It's people who speak against God. Oh, you go to church? He wasn't overcome because everyone else was, but on the contrary, their cowardice made him angry, more determined to destroy the enemy who he knew already was a defeated foe. All the men of Israel saw that, and they fled, saw the man, Goliath, and they fled from him, and they were afraid. And David spoke to the men and said, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away this reproach? Don't you understand? Aren't you embarrassed?" David had one thing on his mind, and that was the fact that that was not just his enemy, but Goliath was defying Almighty God. And therefore, Goliath was in deep trouble. David knew that God needed someone to use executing vengeance upon his enemy, so he stepped to the plate and said, "It might as well be me." Praise the Lord. We should remember that our enemies are God's enemies because we have a covenant with God. He will defeat them by using one of us as his champion, just like he did with Jesus when he walked on the earth. Jesus was God's champion who, through the Holy Ghost, defeated every enemy he faced, which was threatening the future of the people. Jesus did it without a sword. He did it without a shield. He did it without a gun. He did it without a bomb. He did it without anything. Did it as the Good Shepherd. You can defeat that which stands in opposition to God's plan for your life. When you know that something keeps running up against you to destroy God's plan for your life, you can know that you can take the victory. You can be God's champion. What are some of the steps that we can learn from David that will help us to develop this champion faith as well? What made David different from the rest of his contemporaries that brought him this great destiny? First, we should know that David was a youth, about 15 years old. This tells me that David didn't wait till he was an adult to get to know God. Please, young people, hear me. David was not a time waster when it came to his spiritual life. He didn't say, "I'll get to that sooner or later." He said, "I'm going to start today. Today, I'm going to be God's champion. Today, I'm going to learn how to spend solitude with God and be raised up as God's champion." During the early years, while herding his father's sheep, he developed qualities that enabled him to step up to the plate. Many people are unprepared for the day of opportunity because they've wasted so much time after they became a believer that instead of pressing in while a spiritual youth through prayer and fasting and study of God's word, many have allowed the cares of life and biblical value system to rob them of the time needed for preparing themselves for God's plan in the future. God is preparing you for the day of battle because the day of battle is also the day where you advance. Don't forget that after this battle, a nobody became a somebody.
Hello, this is Jacob Johnson, and I want to thank you for listening to On Fire Radio today. Pastor Bob shared a message entitled God's Champion from the story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We can be a champion for the kingdom of God because we have victory over sin and death through Jesus Christ. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, will you pray with me today? Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I live my life far from you. I ask you today to cleanse me from my sin. Forgive me and take me in as a child of God. I repent from my sinful patterns and ask that you will fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit and make me a new creation. I walk forward into a new life with you. Father, thank you for sending Jesus as a sacrifice for my sin. Jesus, I place my faith and eternity in you today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, I'd encourage you to get a Bible, start a prayer life, and find a Bible-believing church. If you don't have a church, we'd love to have you visit Catskill Mountain Christian Center Sundays at 10 a.m. at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. OFR is brought to you each week for the past 2 decades for free because of generous donors like you. If you'd like to financially support the work of On Fire Radio or learn more about CMCC, you can go online at cmcconline.org. On behalf of Pastor Bob Engelhart, this is Jacob Johnson. Thank you for listening to OFR today. God bless, and we'll see you in church.